Luke chapter 8 and verse 22. Luke chapter 8, verse 22, it says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God most high? I beseech thee, torment me not." I want to talk to us about a little thought from these two stories that are together here. I want to talk to us about the other side of the storm. The other side of the storm. Jesus told his disciples, he said, let's get into a ship and let us go unto the other side of the lake. But there was a storm in the midst of that lake. They were going to face a storm, but that wasn't the end. I want to talk to us about the other side of the storm. Praise the Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts and help us tonight. I pray that your word, God, would go forth with power and anointing. I pray that you'd help me, Lord. Help me to speak what you would have me speak tonight. And I pray that you'd encourage hearts. I pray that you'd help somebody who's in the midst of a storm, Lord. Help somebody that doesn't know which direction they're going right now. But, Lord, I pray that you would give comfort and peace. I pray that you would speak to the trouble in their life, Lord. And I pray that you'd help them to come through this, to get to the other side. We give you the praise and the glory for what you're doing right now in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord. God, you're good. We trust you, Lord. We praise you, oh God. We stand upon your word. We stand upon your promises, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I praise you for what you're doing right now, Lord. I thank you for giving us strength. I thank you, Lord, for taking us through. I thank you, Lord, for keeping us in the midst of trouble, in the midst of trials, in the midst of circumstance. You're still there, Lord. You're there. You've got things under control. We trust in you, Lord, and we worship you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Please be seated tonight. Glory to God. Tis the season for storms. Tis the season for storms. How many of you heard the alarms going off? When was that? This past week? How many just slept right through it or didn't? Okay, yeah. Thankfully, what they forecasted didn't fully come about, and it was building. We heard it coming, and my wife's like, hey, there's a tornado coming, let's go out on the front porch. And so we're out there. Every time it lightening up, I was trying to look for it, and Colt's like, there it is, and he was just joking. But then we went, it started raining, so we go on the back porch, and all of a sudden it just got calm. And you could hear the alarms going off, and then it was just like it just kind of fell apart. So I don't know. Thank the Lord. Now, some did get tornadoes that night, but thankfully not us at our house. But thankfully, we do live in Missouri, And between now and June, it's peak storm season. And we in Missouri are considered somewhat high risk because we live in one of the more active states for tornado activity. How wonderful is that? I can remember the first time that I preached at this church. It was after the Joplin tornado, and I had a business at that time working as an insurance adjuster, and came up to this area and was working to help some homeowners that had damage, severe damage during that time. Most of it was hail damage, and preached at this church during that season when I was up here. And so anyway, that was a few years ago. But storms come in seasons. Spiritual storms do too. Has anybody been in that season lately? I got a few people that know what I'm talking about. Storms in your family, storms in your finances, storms in your marriage, storms in your walk with God, storms in the church, storms in every area of our life. Storms come in seasons. If that's the season you've been in, and if it seems like that season will never end, well, I'm preaching to you tonight. And I'm preaching to me. I know that we're looking for an end to this. And I know that we're ready for there to be some sunshine again. And I know that we've had enough of the rain clouds and the lightning and the thunder and the winds. And I feel you. I'm very well acquainted with storm season too. But somebody needs to hear this tonight. And I believe the Lord would like to speak to us. There's something we need to get from this. And it's more than just standing there in the midst of that storm and looking at all the trouble and turmoil going on around us. All of the turbulence that we're going through. We need to look beyond the storm, so to speak. And sometimes you can't look with the eyes of the flesh, but you got to get in a prayer room and you got to get close to the Lord and you got to go to an altar and say, Lord, I can't see past these clouds, and I can't see through this rain, and I can't see for the lightning and all the trouble around me, but Lord, if you'd kind of let me see in the spirit just a minute. Come on, somebody, you got to look a little harder and say, God, I know that there's a purpose because you're ordering my steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so, God, there's a reason why you let my steps go through this storm. There's a reason why I'm experiencing turbulence right now. There's a reason why there's trouble and chaos and turmoil all around me. And so, God, if you'll just give me a little glimpse, God, help me to see that there's another side to this. There's more than just the wind and the rain. But, God, you're trying to take me somewhere. You're trying to do something, God. You're trying to bring me to a place that's on the other side. Hallelujah. Oh, we need to be ready for the other side of the storm. How often is it that storms hit right before a miracle? Just before a revelation of God's power. Right before restoration or revival, immediately preceding a change in direction, a greater calling, an open door. Remember when the disciples struggled against the wind and the waves, and they struggled all night long, and then Jesus comes walking on the water. They thought he was a ghost, and so they cry out with fear. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter, good old Peter, he says, Lord, if it's you, call to me to come to you on the water. And so Jesus calls him, says, come, and Peter does something that none of the other disciples had the faith to do. He steps out of the boat and he walks on water. Until He got to looking at the storm instead of at Jesus. Now, we can sit here in our comfortable padded chairs and we can say, oh, Peter, come on. Why didn't you keep your eyes on the Lord? But can you imagine? Amen. Can you imagine? You're walking on the water and all of a sudden you realize, hey, wait a second. Not only am I walking on water, but this is pretty crazy time here. And there's wind and there's waves. And this is not safe. This is not smart, Peter. What were you thinking? So he starts to sink, but Jesus saves him. And when they get back into the ship, the wind ceased and there was peace and calm. And Matthew chapter 14, verse 33 tells us, then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. That storm brought revelation. Sometimes we don't see things correctly until we're on the other side of the storm. Oh, we thought we knew. We thought we understood the situation, but the storm and going through the storm has a way of opening our eyes. Amen. There's a new depth to things. We see the different colors we didn't see all of that before. We didn't understand all of that before. But when I came through the storm, when God brought me through, when God didn't leave me in the storm to die, when God had a plan through the storm, and now I kind of understand some things I didn't understand before. I have a depth of understanding that wasn't there before the storm. What about Paul when they were in a 14-day storm at sea? Have you ever been seasick? Some of you, yes, some no. I thought that Sister McCoy was like, hey, we got to go on a cruise. This is, I don't know how many years ago, 15 years ago, something like that. I was like, okay, are we sure about this? That's a big ocean out there. I kind of get motion sick sometimes, so I was a little worried. I packed the Dramamine and all this stuff, and I was ready, Brother Wiggins. I was ready. And I didn't have a problem. I was fine. She, on the other hand, took my Dramamine, so I was glad I had it. You did get sick. You do, yeah. That boat gets to rocking. It's a big ship, but those waves are moving it, and you can feel it, and you walk, and you got to kind of, kind of steady yourself, and they said, oh, this is nothing. But it was something. It was something. But here Paul is in a 14-day storm at sea. Can you imagine being stuck on a ship for 14 days? But God was in control. Yes, the ship was completely destroyed, and everyone was afraid that they would die, but all 276 people lived and made it ashore on the island of Malta. And that storm brought healing and revival to that island. Sometimes God lets the storm break up some things in our life in order to open up a new door. And if we're not careful, we'll get to looking at everything that's being broken up, and we'll get to looking at everything that we're losing, and we'll get to looking at everything that's falling apart, and we'll say, God, what are you doing? How have you forsaken me? How have you left me here to die? And what are you doing, God? I'm losing everything. And God's saying, I just want you to let go of some things so I can open a new door, so I can make a new way. Come on, sometimes you just got to throw your hands up and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to stand on your word. I'm going to stand on your promises. I'm going to stop trying to hold on to everything and control it myself, God. I'm just going to let you open the right doors and you close the wrong ones. And I'm just going to walk by faith, because sometimes he's trying to open up new territory. He's trying to bring us to a greater level of revival. And we've been stuck where we're at too long. And God uses a storm. Jonah had a storm. He ran from God, and then the storm was about to sink the ship. They cast lots to figure out what in the world. They realized this was no ordinary storm. This was something special. There was some God somewhere that was upset. Of course, the lot falls on Jonah, and he tells them, he says, throw me overboard. The storm will stop. They threw him overboard, and the storm stopped, and God sent a great fish. In the belly of that fish, Jonah prayed. I would too. He repented, and then he obeyed. And Nineveh, the city of Nineveh, had a massive revival. This was a carnal city. This was a wicked city. But from the king down, everybody repented. Sometimes a storm is what it takes to redirect us, to get us back on track, because God has greater things ahead. Come on, somebody. You might be going through a storm right now, and you've been really telling God some things about this storm, and why is he letting you go through this, and why are you experiencing this, and why hasn't he delivered you? Why hasn't he stopped the storm? And God's saying, I'm trying to redirect your life. I'm trying to bring you out in another direction, because I've got more for you, and I've got greater things ahead. Job faced a storm of life. He lost his wealth, he lost his children, he lost his health, he lost his reputation. And Satan told God, he said, I'll get him to curse you. But the Bible says that in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. And God restored Job in the end. He gave him double of what he had before. Sometimes storms are tests that lead us on to greater blessings. But God's got to know he can trust us. God's got to know he can depend on us. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody tonight that God's watching us in the midst of that storm. He was looking at the disciples. He knew what they were going through. Amen. He had a plan, but he's saying, how are they going to react? How are they going to respond to this? Sometimes we got to realize, Lord, I don't understand what's going on. I don't like the storm. I'm not happy in the storm, but I'll trust you anyway. I'll stand on your promises, Lord. I'll keep believing you for the miracle. I'll keep praying for it. I'll keep worshiping you for it. And in our text tonight, Jesus tells the disciples, he said, let us go over unto the other side. Notice, he didn't warn them about the storm. He didn't give them a heads up that things were about to get rough. He didn't tell them even what to do in the storm. In fact, Jesus, knowing what was about to happen, he falls asleep. And the wind comes up, and the waves start rolling, and they're beating against the ship, and it's filled with water, and they thought that they were about to die. They were in jeopardy. And finally they go wake Jesus up. Now, if we'd been there, I think maybe we would have done it a little sooner. I wouldn't have let it get that bad. Hey, Jesus, we need a little help here. I'm seasick, Lord, and... why did they wait so long? I don't know. But Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves, and now there's calm. And reading in Luke chapter 8, verse 25, and he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. The storm gave them perspective. The storm showed them some things more clearly. Because of the storm, they understood more about who Jesus was. I know that we would prefer for everything to be easy in life. Nobody likes going through storms. Nobody likes a good trial. Why would anyone want to go through pain and suffering and hard times? We like it when it's easy. We like it when everybody's happy. We like it when we're on the mountaintop and in victory and success. But that's not how life is all the times, and that's not how spiritual life is all the time either. If you're in a storm tonight, if you've just come through a storm, if you're headed into a storm, I want to preach to you about the other side of the storm. God does not allow us to go through a storm without a purpose. He doesn't let us face that test if there's not a reward in it somewhere. on. He doesn't allow us to have a trial unless there's a blessing somehow in it. That's why 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18 declares, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody's been cursing the storm. You've been complaining about your situation. You've been talking about how bad it is. Why don't you start thanking God for it? In everything, give thanks. Lord, I thank you for this trial. Come on, somebody. You're about to confuse the devil because he's thrown everything he has at you. And here you're about to start worshiping God. You're about to start praising God even more. You're not going to let this defeat you. If it takes me out, it's going to take me out praising him. It's going to take me out giving him glory. But he's still worthy. He still deserves all praise and glory. Come on, somebody. In everything, give thanks. I remember when a tropical storm sprung up overnight. We didn't know anything about it, and we woke up. When you live on the Gulf Coast, you just never know what kind of weather you're going to get. And we woke up about 3 or 4 a.m. to the sound of a freight train outside. Now, here's the difference between tornadoes and hurricanes. Tornadoes, well, they may last a few minutes and do tremendous destruction, but hurricanes and tropical storms, they go on for hours. And I can remember that night, we kind of got all the kids and all of us, we went in one bedroom on one side of the house, and it seemed like it would never end. It just kept coming. Let me encourage somebody here tonight. When we're going through a storm, sometimes it seems like it will never end. It's hard to think in the middle of that about anything else than the wind and the rain and the thunder and the lightning and all the trouble around. But if that's where we're at tonight, can we just take a step back for a moment? Can we just pause just a moment and consider what's coming after this storm? Jesus was on a mission. Before the storm ever came, he had a purpose in going to the other side. Reading in Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus sends the devils out of the man and into a herd of pigs, and they run over a cliff and drown. Luke 8:35 says, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Why were they afraid? Because they knew this man. He was the one that chains couldn't keep him bound. He was the one that would cry all the night in the tombs and in the caves. This is the one that they were scared. This was the boogeyman they told their kids about. But nobody could tame this man. But here he is sitting clothed and in his right mind. isn't it something how before Jesus sets foot on shore and frees a man tormented by demons, before the chains are broken off of his life, before the man is clothed and in his right mind, before the transformation that shocks the entire region, that man, he would become a missionary to that whole region round about, to 10 cities. But before all of this, the disciples were nearly killed by a storm. Before it happened. It wasn't just a little storm. It wasn't just a little wind. It wasn't life-threatening and heart. It was a life-threatening, heart-pounding, raging storm that seasoned fishermen used to storms on that lake. They thought that they were finished. But the timing is what's interesting. The storm didn't show up after the miracle. It hit before it. Almost like the powers of darkness saw what was coming and they scrambled to try to stop it. They'd had that man for too long. That had been their dominion, that had been their territory, and they see Jesus coming and they knew their time was finished. It's almost like the powers of darkness have seen some of you and have seen me, and they've seen a little bit about what God's about to do, and they're like, oh, no. I've had victory too long in the city of Springfield. We've controlled the city of Nixon and Willard and Ozark and the surrounding area. No. There's a church that's starting to pray a little too much. Come on, there's a people that are starting to believe God that what the miracles happen in the Bible could still happen in this day. There's some people that are walking by faith. They're not walking by sight, but they're declaring the things of God. And they're reaching a little too hard for the supernatural. We got to shut that down. We got to stop it before it breaks loose. We've got to do what we can to get them to quit. The storm didn't rise up after the miracle, it hit before it. The storm didn't try to take them out after the victory. No, it was right before deliverance. And that should make us wonder tonight, how many people are so close to their breakthrough? They're so close to revival in their family. They're so close to having a miracle. Come on. And something happens because the enemy stirs up a storm and they never make it to the shore. How many families are right at the edge of healing, but distractions get so loud and chaos comes and a storm hits hard and they never take that next step of faith? How many callings are forsaken because turbulence comes at the exact moment that we should be stepping forward in faith? How many miracles are missed because in the moment where God had set us up, we falter and we get distracted and we get frustrated with our situation and we lose focus? In fact, I'm preaching some things tonight. There's probably some people that are not here because the enemy did not want them in the service because there was going to be a move of God and somebody was going to get faith restored and somebody's going to start to see on the other side of the storm. And then he's like, no, I can't let that happen. And we lose focus and we let up on our prayer life and we start missing church. And when what we were hoping and praying for is finally about to come to pass, we need to change how we view our storms in life. Instead of asking, why is this happening? Why am I going through this? Oh, why me? Poor me. We need to be asking, what is it that the enemy's trying to keep me from? Come on, what's the miracle that's on the way that the enemy's trying to stop? What is it that God's trying to do? And I'm right there on the precipice, and the enemy's trying to get me to quit. Praise the Lord. Storms aren't always a sign that we're off track. Sometimes they're a sign that something powerful is waiting on the other side. And look at this. Jesus rebuked the storm, but he still took the disciples through it because there was a man on the other side that needed freedom. And the storm was never going to stop him from getting there. I wonder how many desperate people are one conversation away from deliverance. They're one prayer away from a breakthrough. They're one invitation away from hope. But the enemy is banking on getting us so overwhelmed and so distracted and so shaken up by the wind and the waves that we never arrive on the other side. Turn to somebody and tell them, the angels are talking. The angels are talking. Jacob, so tired, he fell asleep laying on a rock. And he sees a ladder reaching to heaven and angels ascending and descending on it. Those angels were carrying out the work of God. They were working. I just kind of think today there's some portals. I don't know for sure where they are. I feel like there's some around here somewhere. Angels sending, bringing prayers of the saints up, but descending to answer prayers and to work and to do whatever God's will is. Now, there's angels and then there's fallen angels. I imagine they probably speak the same language. They probably understand one another. Let's just say that God decides he's going to bless the Experienced Church. He's going to work a great revival in the last days. He's going to restore the years that the locust has eaten. I don't have time to get on that, but that's powerful. And so God starts sending angels to prepare for his work. He's sending them to this city. He's working and ministering in this city. There's people that are hungry right now. They're praying, God, if you're real, I want to know it. And God's already working all of that. There's miracles. There's signs. There's wonders. There's provision. Blessings. And the angels start talking about, hey, this is going to be awesome. I can't wait to see all this come together. Man, this is going to be a revival. The Experienced Church, this is exciting. And they start talking, and fallen angels start picking up on what the Lord's angels are talking about. And they're not excited, not one bit. In fact, they're a little worried. And they go report back, and so then they start talking, okay, there's something going on at the Experienced Church. Let's go check this out. And so they come and they're starting to follow some of you and some of me and or me. Okay. You see that, Brother Bobby? Man, God's working in his life. Man, he's not there yet, but he's making a lot of progress. And if he really realizes what God is doing and what God is working, and if he really steps into that calling, there's going to be no stopping him. So what can we got to stop him right now. And not only him, but that wife of his, Jennifer, man, she's powerful. She don't even realize it, but she's got power, and the Lord's using her, and God's opening up doors in the spirit to her, and we got to stop them. We've held this territory too long, and we've been in control around here too long, and their life has been under our control for however many years, but now they're starting to break free from that, and God's doing a work. And I could go down every single life, and so the enemy's trying to put the fire of revival out, and he's trying to snuff some things out, and he's trying to get us frustrated, and he's trying to get us sidetracked. And come on, somebody, realize that you may be going through a storm, and it may just be pointing to a miracle on the other side. It may just be letting you know, hey, there's some good things happening in the spirit. The angels are talking, and there's a revival on the way, and there's a breakthrough about to come to pass. Come on, the storm didn't rise up after the miracle, it hit right before it, and some of you are right there. You better not let up. You better not stop praying. You don't stop being faithful to church. Don't stop your worship. Don't stop your faithfulness, but realize I'm getting there. There's something good on the way. Don't quit in the storm. Don't drown in a moment that was only meant to slow you down. Don't let the enemy convince you that chaos is the whole story. Because every time Jesus heads towards a broken person, hell throws all that it has. But hell can't stop the name of Jesus. And hell can't stop the church. And hell can't stop you and me if we stay full of the Holy Ghost and committed to the Lord. Come on, somebody. There's a victory on the way. There's a miracle. There's a promise coming down your road. Come on, somebody. There's an open door ahead. It's on the other side of the storm. You just got to be trusting the Lord. You got to keep paddling. You got to keep rowing. Come on, we're going somewhere. Come on, I wish there's somebody that, I'm not looking for somebody to come and weep at the altar today. I'm looking for somebody that'll step out in faith and say, I feel that. I feel that. I receive that. I claim that. I take hold of that in the spirit. Come on, that's the kind of word that I'm talking about. I realize the enemy's working. I realize I'm going through some stuff, but I believe there's about to be a breakthrough, and I believe there's about to be revival, and I'm not going to get frustrated right now. I'm not going to get sidetracked right now, but I'm going to keep pushing with everything I've got. In fact, I'm going to push more than I ever have. I'm going to pray more than I ever have. I'm going to worship like I never. You ain't seen nothing yet. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I believe you're doing it. I believe you're working. I believe the angels have been talking. I believe there's miracles. I believe there's signs and wonders. I believe there's revival. I believe you're getting us ready.